You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, this is Greg Buttle, and you're listening to the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN. That's right. It used to be the Buttle Show, but now it's the K. Show.
Well, it's 3 o'clock on... It's 3 o'clock on this Thursday, June 30th. Peter and Don, we are on our call just now, settling in, preparing a great show. We're going to have a Don LaGreca top five today. We're going to get you all ready for the beach bash tomorrow. We're just preparing for a normal, fun show. And here comes the aforementioned Woj Bomb.
Woj Bomb. Woj Bomb. Woj Bomb.
Brooklyn Nets GM Sean Marks is working with Kevin Durant and his business manager, Rich Kleiman, on finding a trade for the franchise star, Kleiman tells ESPN. Wow. Sham Sharania tweeting something similar. 1 minute earlier, Kevin Durant has requested a trade out of Brooklyn. Don, the emotional roller coaster for Nets fans over the last 48 to 72 hours is unlike anything I can recall.
You know the classic, whether it's in a cartoon or kind of a slapstick movie of the broken mental patient where he's like grasping at flies around their head that don't exist, and they're in a straitjacket or they're in a corner like twitching. Like, that's a Net fan right now, because the last 48 hours, the swing of emotion has been incredible. At one moment, they're thinking, oh, we're going to lose Kyrie. KD's going to want to bolt because Kyrie didn't come back, and we're going to be in full-blown rebuild mode. We were taking calls from people, Peter, saying that they were going to look for another team, that they were going to be done with basketball because the Nets were going to become irrelevant. And then Kyrie opts back in, and the pendulum swings the other way of, wow, we're going to be able to compete for a championship. We might actually see mission accomplished at the end of the 3 years. And now the pendulum swings right back that you might have to do it without KD. They've got to be insane right now. And Knicks fans are loving this. They're sitting there with popcorn watching this movie unfold with the twists and turns. This is better than a roller coaster ride if you're a Knicks fan.
Let's open the phone lines right now.
Immediately.
Yeah, 1-800-919-3776. No idea what the Net fan base is going to say right now. I mean, obviously, I have to imagine there's going to be a certain level of disgust. I mean, you know what sort of bugs me, and by the way, let's get into it. We got a lot to handle here. Let's jump right into Game Time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Don, the thing that bothers me is, so KD has been unwilling publicly in any way to push on Kyrie at all. We have not gotten any indication. And listen, I'm not saying there's no merit to this. There's a good quality too. The guy's obviously not a gossip, and he's obviously not going to publicly say things to kill his teammate. But now, you're just rolling out? So he wasn't willing to have the tough conversation, it seems, with Kyrie about really buying in and them going for it. And then Kyrie decides he's opting in, and KD just announces, I'm out? I mean, Don, nothing could lend itself more to your theory the other day that he just doesn't like leading.
Not at all. Not at all. And he's attached to Kyrie's hip. You look at the information we had a couple of weeks ago. I forget the exact quote, but, you know, Durant was going to, you know, just get the lay of the land, check the landscape out to see what was going to happen with Kyrie to decide what he was going to do. And we all assumed it was going to be, well, if Kyrie leaves, he's going to want out. then if Kyrie stays, he'll stay. But maybe that report was if Kyrie came back, he was going to go, that he was done. He didn't want to play with Kyrie anymore. The reports about he didn't like the way the Nets handled Kyrie, are we to read that maybe maybe he was upset they allowed Kyrie to come back and play? Like, when did this falling out occur? Was it over the last few days, or was it really ebbing away the entire year? To where by the time we got to the end of the season, Durant was done with him.
I have to tell you, it's rare that I'm at a loss. I'm at a loss. And is there any world, Don? I mean, we'll get to the speculation on maybe where Kevin Durant ends up. Is there any situation in which Knicks fans could dream?
Well, unless he just is so disgusted with Kyrie, he just can't be on the same team with him. Why would he leave the Nets to still go to a team that's not as good? I mean, if he wants to win, he's better off staying in Brooklyn than going to the Knicks. You're already hearing Phoenix as a possible destination. So I don't know if KD wants to play with the Knicks or whether the Knicks have the ability to make this deal or whether the Nets want to trade him to a rival or whether they're just going to take the best deal. And can the Knicks put together the best deal?
Sean,
what do you offer?
I don't know.
All those picks are protected, so you can't really send them lottery picks. Who on their roster is going to be that attractive? And then you don't want to trade everybody, Peter, and have Durant playing with no one.
Randall and picks is not enough.
No.
So, KD, don't you regret not coming to the Knicks?
What about Randall, Barrett, and picks?
Okay, so who's KD then playing with?
Jalen Brunson.
Bing bong!
Yeah, it's a tough spot.
What do the Nets do? I mean, because you can't really rebuild because you've got Kyrie for a year, so you want to try to go for it. So you want to try to make sure you get something back in a deal that can't replace KD, but at least can put something up to where you can be competitive this year.
That's the interesting piece.
Unless you can now trade Kyrie. Is there anybody that can now, because now you just go back to where you were before, where if Kyrie left to say, all right, we're just going to rebuild here and just tear it all the way down and see whatever picks and young players you can get for the both of them. Now, I don't know how much you're going to get for Kyrie because over $35 million that a team's going to have to take on. So you're going to have to bring somebody back that makes money to make it work. And I don't know how much you're going to get for a player that's going to be one and done. But it's still something rather than playing. Because here's my fear for Net fans, Peter, because Kyrie's really good. So even without KD, the Nets could be a playoff team, but they're not going to win a championship. They're not going to have a great pick because they're not probably going to be in a lottery next year because Kyrie's too good unless he completely freaks out and doesn't play to where they're going to get a top five pick out of this season. But you're not going to win either, so why not think about trading them both? Not together, but separately, and then see what you can get back and then just rebuild.
That is game time. That's right. Brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. During the big games this season, enjoy Tullamore Dew, the original triple blended, triple distilled, triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Remember, when it's game time, it's Tully time. Please enjoy responsibly. To the phone lines we go, and they are shockingly jammed already. 1-800-919-3776. We'll get started with Gregory in Auburn. What's up, Gregory?
Hello. I love your show. I just called because I don't know if it's possible, but if the Nets are smart, wouldn't they be smart enough to call like Golden State when they have so many assets? They have Poole, they have Wiseman, they have Moody, they have all Kuminga. They have so much assets that they could benefit from.
Why not? Call whoever's going to give you the best deal.
There's no harm. There's no harm in calling. I don't know how realistic it is. Let's go to David in Rockville Center. What's up, David?
What's up, guys? Love the show. My question is, what transpired here? Is KD disgruntled because of Kyrie's behavior this season?
Yes. That has to be it. He felt, because I don't know what kind of relationship they have other than I believe this guy can help me win a title. And after what happened last year, can you really blame him for thinking that maybe Kyrie isn't the safest bet? So I'm sure he was furious and frustrated. And we all thought all year long because of their relationship that KD let it happen. Now, for all we know, David, is it possible that KD was trying to change it, realized he had zero control over Kyrie, and he's just done?
I mean, I love the analogy before about the straitjacket and that situation because as a Nets fan, that's how we feel right now.
Well, this is the problem, David, with super teams, okay? Never think for a second, and correct me if I'm wrong, Peter, never think for a second that any of these star players, when they put together a super team, care about the market they're in. They care about, maybe they care where the games are played. Like, I think LeBron liked going to Miami because it's beautiful in South Beach. But when they put these super teams together, they don't care about the fans. They don't care about the coaches. They don't care about the executives. All they care about is coming together to win themselves a chip. So the Nets were just a vessel. You have to understand that. As a fan, your team is just a vessel. And the Nets were a vessel for them to try to get a championship. KD doesn't think that that's feasible anymore because he probably doesn't want to put all his eggs in the Kyrie basket. And now they're gone. Now they're going to leave. And Kyrie only opted in, Peter, not because he loved Brooklyn or he grew up a Net fan. He opted in because that was his only option. So I think fans have to realize, especially in the NBA, when you put these super teams together, the fan base and the team itself is an afterthought. It's a vessel to accomplish what they're looking to do. And I feel bad for the fans because they're the ones that left out in the cold when all of a sudden that vehicle doesn't work anymore. They'll strip it off like a snake sheds its skin and will go to another team to try to win that championship.
All right, so let's give you some updates from Woj, all right?
And Stephen A. will join us at 5:30, by the way, today. I'm sure he's going to have a lot to say about this.
Yeah, I would imagine so. All right, here we go. Woj. As the Nets prepare to move one of the most valuable trade assets ever on the market, the entire roster will be available to discuss in deals, sources tell ESPN. Teams have been calling on Durant, and the Nets will certainly look for a historic return on players and draft picks. Phoenix and Miami are among two of the teams that Kevin Durant has on his wish list, sources tell ESPN. But the Nets plan to move Durant where they can get the best possible deal. With 4 years on his contract, there's no shortage of teams willing to unload assets for Durant. Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving had no contact with the franchise after Irving opted into his deal on Monday, and a sense of inevitability existed that Durant would eventually ask for a trade, sources tell ESPN. It happened today. Then Brooklyn has made some moves. Brooklyn is sending the lesser of their own, Houston or Philadelphia's 2023 first-round pick, in a deal for the Jazz's Royce O'Neal. So, Phoenix and Miami, KD's wish list, but of course, that has to match up with what the Nets want. And to Woj's point, the Nets are in a great position to try to do this in a way where you can immediately make an impact. You know, I wonder whether their goal is just to get as many good picks as they can and completely start over again? Are they hoping that with someone as valuable as KD, they can get a legitimate great second star to pair with Kyrie Irving and get picks for the future?
That's a really interesting question because, remember, Kyrie's likely gone at the end of the season, so it would be just to do it for this 1 year. I wonder if the smarter thing to do would pull off like a Herschel Walker type deal where you just get a bunch of picks and young players and then you just completely rebuild your team around that pick. That's what the Cowboys did with Herschel Walker. That's what eventually the Quebec Nordiques / Colorado Avalanche did with Eric Lindros. just get the haul back and then just sit back and watch all these picks and young players become big time. That, to me, is the smarter play than to get a star back.
Well, how can you bank on anything from Kyrie? Because even banking on him this year is tough. They can't
right,
bank on anything. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, so and I would also read the tea leaves, and it, apparently KD's opinion is you can't rely on him, even though he's playing for a contract. So you try to do it this year, get somebody. You're not going to get a KD back, but if you get a couple of players that can be somewhat equal to what he is as an individual and give it one more try with Kyrie, great. That might work out. But I think I'd rather go long-term, bite the bullet this year, let Kyrie play out his contract, free up that money, and get yourself a bunch of picks and young players and rebuild with executives that I think are good. This is a good team. It's a well-run team. That was the compliment Michael Kay always threw out on how they were able to build the super team, because they put together a lot of ancillary players that made you feel like that they were moving in the right direction. If you have faith in Cy and Marks, then make the deal for the long term instead of just going after a pipe dream this year. And then what? Have Kyrie lose it again? And then it all goes down the toilet? Do something that we'll look back 5-6 years from now and go, boy, they're still reaping the benefits of that KD deal. Again, think Herschel Walker, think Eric Lindros, something like that.
Let's go to Mike in West Caldwell. What's up, Mike?
This is the biggest double middle finger from KD to Kyrie without actually saying a word for what he did. If I was the Nets, first thing I would do is trade Kyrie to Sacramento and let him go die over there. I'm a Knicks fan. I really don't care what happens to the Nets, just so you know, but Kyrie's such a turd now, and I would just send him over there and let him die in Sacramento. And with, I don't know even if he goes to Phoenix. Like, if you trade him to Phoenix or Miami, what, are these teams going to give up an equal star just for him? Like, so what kind of a boat are you in here with these trades? Like, so are you just going to hope that you're going to – I mean, you know how these drafts are. You don't know. Unless you get the top three pick or get a real steal that you don't know about, what are you getting in these drafts anymore? So you want –
Well, you got to make sure, Mike. You have to make sure – you're right. It's a crapshoot, but you got to make sure you get unprotected picks. You're going to have to get lottery picks for KD. I mean, you can't get – you know, nobody wants the 12th or 13th pick for KD. You're going to have to get a few top five type picks. But as far as, like, trading Kyrie to Siberia, do you think he cares? He's going to go up, build up his numbers, and sign as a free agent at the end of the year. I don't think he'd care if you traded him to Sacramento. What would he care?
I know. But just go there and die for the year, because that's where careers go and just wither away.
The thing is, Kyrie, all you want, I'm with you, man. I'm done. I'm really done with all this. I feel so bad for basketball fans. They're so invested in the teams, and teams mean nothing anymore. And these players can do whatever the heck that they want, choose wherever they want to go, and the players, the fans are sitting there holding a bag. But the thing is, Kyrie's going to get his, Mike. That's the thing. At the end of the year, first of all, we're crying to blue. Let's say you trade him to Sacramento. He's still going to make $36 million in Sacramento, put up huge numbers, and sign a monster deal with a winning team at the end. There's no way to beat Kyrie into submission. He won't allow you to do it.
Yeah, I just hope that now this might stop, because I pray to God they stop with these putting these teams together. They won't. But you hope maybe teams say, you know what, if we do this now, this could have very well happened, building these teams, because it just sucks, man. Every since they started doing this, you're 100% right. They don't care about the town they're in, man. You nailed it. And it makes this even suckier than things have already gotten.
And that's coming from a Knicks fan, but you're right. Mike, thanks for the call.
Appreciate it, Mike. Let's go to Murray in Mineola. What's up, Murray?
What was that, Joe Pesci? Joe Pesci is calling from West Caldwell.
I liked it, though. I liked it. Anyway, what do you got, Murray?
He's going to go over there and die. Okay, anyway, the reason I'm calling right now is to tell you that I believe Leon Rose is not an idiot. And I know that they have a relationship with KD. They have had one for many years. It didn't work out for whatever reason the first time around. But this is the only explanation for what the Knicks are doing.
What, it's hoping they get KD?
That this is what they're doing. They're setting it up to get KD. KD knew what... Yeah, KD knew what he was doing a few weeks ago.
Well, we have not heard word one, Murray, that the Knicks are a destination. We're hearing Suns, we're hearing Heat, we're not hearing Knicks. And in a world, Peter, in which
in a world
players have no problem telling you where they want to go or where they want to end up. If it was feasible, we would have heard something by now.
Well, how about this? Evan Massey,
there you go,
is reporting, per source, the Dallas Mavericks are expected to heavily pursue a trade for Kyrie Irving. Assuming they lose Jalen Brunson, that pursuit will be very aggressive. Don, that could be a best-case scenario. If Brooklyn could still move Kyrie in spite of him being on the last year because Dallas is in the mindset of, we're losing Brunson, we can sell Kyrie and Luka on the idea of playing together and really going for it. That could be the best-case scenario if you're the Nets, because you can completely unload, KD and Kyrie both gone, and just start from scratch, as opposed to potentially Don being stuck twixt in between with Kyrie for next season, which ends up really doing you nothing except getting you a worse draft pick that year.
Mm-hmm. No, our buddy Spike just DM'd me, because we have that kind of relationship. What about Portland? Play with Lillard?
Hmm. What are they? But how could he? What could they move there? That's worthwhile.
Well, they've got a lot. I don't know what their pick situation is. I'd have to check. But
I'll tell you, and I'll tell you the truth. The reason it doesn't excite me if I'm Portland is, you know, Portland just broke up the CJ Lillard pairing.
Mm-hmm.
I just wonder if having a pair of guards like that is really going to feel that different, even if it's Kyrie. As great as Kyrie is, they've kind of seen, and I know Kyrie's much better than CJ McCollum. I'm saying
KD.
Oh, for KD. That I like. KD with Lillard, that is something.
But don't you think if the Knicks, and I like where Murray's head was at, and I'm not saying that the Knicks aren't like pipe dreaming about trying to create room for a player like Durant, but If the Knicks were a destination, don't you think we would have heard it by now? Now, that's a third team, right? Originally, it was him possibly going to Miami. Then what was else? Phoenix was first. Then it was Miami. Now reports of Dallas. We haven't heard anything about the Knicks.
Now, you would think if Phoenix is making a serious, trying to really aggressively get KD, you would think potentially Booker or certainly Ayton are in that conversation.
Yes.
So, you know, if you're the Nets and you could get a young, great, really good player in someone like Ayton or Booker, plus picks, that's sexy.
Mm-hmm.
Booker could be a cornerstone piece, plus picks. That could be something. I don't know if that's what Phoenix is willing to do, but it's Kevin Durant. It's the best player in basketball. So it's not like we're in a place where anybody's completely off the table. Everybody not named Steph Curry is on the table.
This is going to be, when it's all said and done, one of the biggest trades in the history of this league.
Which, by the way, I'll say one thing. I know Nets fans have absolutely had it with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, and I understand why. But let's give Kevin Durant his props on something. Don, the fact that we're sitting here all these years later, years after he made the move to Golden State, a torn Achilles, 33 years old, and it's still going to be one of the biggest trades maybe we've ever seen in sports, that's really a testament to that dude's ability to bounce back from that injury and still be at the top of his game.
Yeah, nobody's questioning his game.
He may drive you nuts, but no, my Lord.
He's officially driven every Brooklyn Net fan out of their mind. And that's why I would really hope that when this is all over, they get a haul back.
We are going to talk to everyone today. The phone lines are completely jammed, but keep calling. We are going to stay on this all day long. We'll also get to some Yankees and Mets, of course. Don, I still think you should do your tremendous top five today.
No, we will. We can wedge that in. No, I don't know what time you want to do it. Maybe 4:30.
I like 4:30 because we got Stephen A. at 5:30.
Right.
We have a lot to do. We got to get ready for the Beach Bash tomorrow. Don is physically preparing his Gene Simmons transformation between now and tomorrow. So we have a lot to do. And all your calls at 1-800-919-3776. You can also reach me and Don on Twitter at Rosenberg Radio, at Don LaGreca. More Peter and Don on the K's show next on 98.7 ESPN. And yes.
Hello, so KD, don't you regret not coming to the Knicks? Don't you regret not coming to the Knicks?
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
It's Peter and Don. It's the K Show on 98.7 ESPN. I have so many starting lineups to get to as well, Don. We'll get to that, though, in a little bit of time. And, of course, don't forget, we have the Beach Bash tomorrow in Lake Como, New Jersey. Bar A becomes Bar K. It's the 98.7 ESPN Beach Bash. 3 to 7 p.m. live show, yeah. Giveaways.
Looking forward to it. Nice day.
Well, what are they saying temperature-wise tomorrow? What's the old temp?
85.
85 is nice. I mean, we're going to be sweating up there like a hog. But as far as the hangout, have an adult beverage while chilling in the sun, you love 85. It's all brought to you by Patron Tequila, Leafly, Stoli Vodka, Notorious Pink Rosé, The Good Life Transportation Company, and Flight by Yuengling. You got to be 21 to get in. And I believe The Good Life Transportation Company, Don, is who is taking care of me and Andrew's transportation to the event.
Is that nice? That's nice.
Oh, very nice. I'm grateful for it. And so when you see us roll up in a ridiculous over-the-top vehicle tomorrow, know that we're living the good life. That's exactly what's happening tomorrow.
I declined a ride. I was offered and I declined.
Well, you got a long drive. And you're also already in Jersey. Well, how long is your drive, actually? You're probably better than me.
Oh, yeah, way better than you.
What are you, 45 minutes?
Yeah. But it's a nice day. Crank the tunes. That's the one thing about the pandemic. I don't do nearly as much driving as I used to, so I look forward to days like that.
Right. I understand that. There's a world in which I would have driven myself as well, but I have to go straight to the airport from there if I can get on a flight, considering I think over 3,000 flights have been canceled this week.
That's scary.
Because we're doing great as a nation in every way.
I don't know how anybody that relies on air travel to do their job can possibly do it.
I know.
The horror stories I'm hearing from people that, like, just vacations. Like, there's a couple that I know. The wife got the husband tickets to see Paul McCartney in Florida. They ended up having to sell the tickets. It didn't go because the flights kept getting canceled and moved around. They couldn't make it down there. New York to Florida. That used to be the easiest flight to book and the cheapest. But now the prices are through the roof, and you'll get canceled. I think finally, Peter, they were able to get flights, like, separately. And they're like, we don't need this. And they sold the tickets and just got out.
I'm just hoping that I get to work. Because to your point, Don, the scary part is when you have to get somewhere for work. Like, if the flight on Friday night gets canceled, and then I'm stuck trying to scramble for a flight first thing Saturday morning, anything later than that, because I'm going to Vegas, I'll miss work. So it's a little rough out there. So everyone, make sure you account for all this when you travel this weekend. We go back to the phones at 1-800-919-3776, and we go to Bob in Dix Hills. What's up, Bob?
Hello.
Hello.
What's up, Bob?
Yes, it's Mark, but that's okay. Listen, fellas, here's the deal. How in the world can you root for a team today when these guys do what they're doing? They're taking the heart of the sport away from people like us that go to the games, that root for them. And I go back to Shaq and LeBron. I think they started. Shaq might have. I mean, this is just terrible. You love a team, and then these people because they have the power. They just say, the hell with this. We're going to leave. I mean, how do you stay, like Don, you alluded to it. How do you stay, you know, interested in a team not knowing what tomorrow is going to bring?
Well, I think that's why, Bob, a lot of the NBA's popularity comes from people that just root for players and not teams. So they just love players, and they'll follow them and bounce around. Wherever LeBron's playing, that's the team they'll root for, KD, Kyrie. But I'm a traditionalist, and I think Peter is too, that you have your team and you root for your team. And I get that these players are the sport, and they're the reason why everybody watches. And I think free agency is important for that. You don't want to go back to the old days where these players didn't have any ability to be able to change their lives. But, Peter, this is taking it too far, in my opinion, where the team isn't even taken into account. They're just – you know, and for a league that will actually fine a general manager for suggesting that a player is good, these players behind the scenes can orchestrate their exits and decide to play together wherever they want. And they're just going to go to the place that's got the cap to allow it to happen. It's not any for outside of maybe a love for a city of wanting to play in New York or maybe Phoenix or Miami. For the most part, it's just who's got the cap space to accommodate us. And right. Then when it's inconvenient and the winning isn't happening, then we'll just get out. How are you supposed to support a team, Peter?
So even someone like me, who's I certainly appreciate the idea of player empowerment and players knowing their value and all those things, players being treated well, being treated like the stars that they are. At the same time, as a fan, how do you invest in a team if at any point you can just roll out and not – your contract means nothing.
But KD, see, that's
KD
the
just
thing.
Extended.
Now, you go back
– you can't even celebrate an extension, Don.
Right.
Why would you celebrate it when you know they might just ask out 2 months later? It means nothing.
Well, that's the thing. They'll orchestrate some sort of a deal and left you holding the bag. Now, again, I'm all for these players to get what they deserve. You don't want to go back to the old days of baseball where – whoever drafted you, that's where you played for the rest of your life. Didn't matter whether you liked it there. Didn't matter whether the team was lousy. We don't want to go back to those days, and that's why free agency came in and arbitration came in, ways for players to be able to get paid and players to be able to control their destiny. But now it's okay to not honor your contract? That's all we're asking you to do once you become a free agent. That's why I hate the fact that LeBron is villainized. LeBron was a saint. He waited till his contract was up. And then he got killed because he had the decision and made it about me. But when you look at how things have gone since then, Peter, at least he waited till he was a free agent, chose a destination and went there. Now guys can just all of a sudden decide, I don't want to be here anymore. I'm not playing. Trade me. And then I'm not only on top of that, trade me to where I want to go.
It's so true. We really took for granted LeBron in that moment. You know, it. Everyone was jumping out the window at what it looked like because he decided to make it an event. But the fact of the matter is, all he did was play out his contract and decide to go somewhere else. And now, that would be like a dream. That's all you're hoping when a player agrees to a deal. You're just hoping, is there a chance that this player will finish their deal where they signed? 1-800-919-3776. Let's go to Jacob in Plainview. What's up, Jacob?
Hi, what's up?
Hey, man.
First off, I want to say congrats on the engagement.
Thanks, man.
I've been listening for a while.
Thanks, man.
You deserve it. The other thing I'm going to say is, like, why did anyone, when it first started, think that Kyrie and KD together on this team, two people that cause problems and leave wherever they go after 2 years, neither one of them is a great, great leader. And yes, they are both superstars in the NBA. But why did we think that putting just two superstars who can't command a team was going to automatically win the Nets a championship? And I just feel as though this whole idea of putting two people that cause so many problems together, like, I don't see how it could have worked out well.
It's the intoxication of their talent. Peter, we weren't sure about the chemistry. Even when they brought in Harden, is it too much? There's only one ball. Are they going to be able to get along with each other? Who saw this coming? Did anybody see this coming? Like, maybe it wouldn't work. Maybe they wouldn't win the championship. But did you think when the dust settled after almost 3 years to the day of acquiring KD that the best you'd have was a game 7 in the second round? And everybody being gone? 3 years later, even 2 years later, even 1 year later, when did they get Harden? What was the date they acquired Harden?
Harden was in the middle of last year.
And they couldn't even get through that season. Now, Harden's going to be a Sixer. You know, KD will be in Phoenix. And even if Kyrie stays the one more year, he'll be gone when it's over. And they'll probably likely trade. Did you think it was going to be this disaster? God, I thought maybe they'd lose in the final. Maybe they'll lose in a conference final. KD didn't play his first year when he was hurt. Lost Game 7 to the Bucks. Out basically in the first round this year. Having to settle for a play-in. No, nobody saw this. Did you?
I know. I mean, no. No, of course not. Although it does sound ridiculous. Like, you know, a girl starts dating a guy. It's like, oh, how'd he end up single? Well, he was cheating on his girl with everyone in town. He's an absolute disaster. And then they get married and same thing happens. And she goes, oh, my God, why? How me? Everyone believes it's not going to be them. And I think the Nets convinced themselves, hey, these guys want to be here. They're friends. They want this to happen. This is going to be different. This isn't going to be Kyrie in Boston. This is going to be a different situation. Everyone sees the goal. Everyone wants to win. They want to win in New York. KD spends a ton of time here. His manager, Rich Kleiman, has always been here. This is a great fit. And you were able to convince yourself it could work. And what they got was within a pinky toe of the conference finals. Came up just short.
That's literally what it was, too.
1-800-919-3776. Trevor in Manhattan. What's up, Trevor?
Hey, guys. This is my trade scenario. What if they traded Durant for LeBron straight up? And that way they don't have to give up players. Either team matches the same money. And that way, if KD ever wants to win another championship, he would have to actually win it with Westbrook. And LeBron would actually have to make amends with Kyrie and try to make it work in Brooklyn. But just wondering what you guys think about that.
This is going to sound blasphemous. It's not enough. It's not enough. They're not the same age where LeBron is in his career. That's not enough, Peter. The Nets do not win that trade.
They don't. You'd have to get a little something else, too. LeBron's 37 years old. He's been very healthy. Although this year, I think he only played like 56 games, 57 games. Generally very healthy, but at the same time, he's still 37 years old. It's a great story. In terms of, if you were to put that on the list of fun stories for ways this could play out, number one would be, of course, KD going to New York and the Knicks and Nets then having this thing. That would be amazing. A move to L.A. either with LeBron or for LeBron is also fascinating. I think the realistic, boring, in my opinion, boring thing is he goes to Phoenix, who's already absolutely a contender, which is just what KD loves. They move Devin Booker or Ayton and picks or both and one pick or whatever it is. KD, Chris Paul, Phoenix contends next year. That's to me, Don, probably the most likely scenario. Oh, let's be real. I don't know if Miami has the pieces to move and still be a contender at the end of it.
Right.
Like, Miami's good. They're not Phoenix. Miami's still figuring it out. They're a 45-win team? Mm-hmm. 43-win team?
The coach that gets them to overachieve.
Exactly. So I just don't know that they have. Mm. But who knows? Listen, it's Pat Riley. This is what they do. We're going to talk. A tradition unlike any other. We're going to talk to the great Frank Isola next on.
I enjoy Frank's company.
I'm a big Frank guy, big Maryland guy. We'll talk to Frank Isola next about all of this madness. He knows it quite well. 5:30, Stephen A. Smith. Sorry, I skipped over. 4:30, a Don Top 5. 5:30, Stephen A. Smith. 6 o'clock, ENN. We're leaving TV early today around 5:20.
On TV.
So if you're watching us on Yes, make sure you download that ESPN New York app.
Ray-Ro.
Listen to us on Ray-Ro. That's right. Peter and Don on the K Show on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Hey, everybody. It's me. I'm back. And guess what? It's another Don Sound.
segment.
We're doing the list, Michael. I don't care if you don't like it.
The Daily Don.
I'll fight to the death for this list.
It's the Daily Don Show. He makes lists. Take it away, Donnie.
I want to tell everybody it's nice to be back. It's been a long time, and this is going to be a heavy part of the 2022 summer. So our first edition of this summer will be today. And Peter, with like a lot of my top fives, they're kind of difficult to name, but I think you'll understand it when I say.
All right.
Top five sports things that the younger generation can't believe used to be a thing. Like when they look back at video, old footage, you go, I can't believe that was a thing. And you'll get it when you hear the list.
Full disclosure, obviously I know exactly what we're talking about because right. I was part of the conversation here to start this
list. Did I describe it well?
Yeah, it's...
like quirks you'll never see again.
Yeah, it's old school sports things that if you're our age or older, you grew up on. If you're younger, maybe you've simply seen it in like a highlight video. And I'll throw the first one out there, Dom, because I know that it's going to be there. Because that's what got this all started. It was a post from NFL Films today saying, remember the barefoot kicker?
Yes.
And I thought, oh, I sure do remember the barefoot kicker. It made no sense to me then. It makes no sense to me now. And we will absolutely not see it again.
Yeah, Tony Franklin's the one that pops into my head from the Philadelphia Eagles. But I don't know the last time we've seen a barefooted kicker, and I've got it at number two. Even the straight-on kicker, Mark Moseley was the last one that I remember, kick straight on. That's also not a thing anymore.
Oh, Don, that's a good one, too.
That's a good one, too. But the barefooted kicker, I think, is even better. Because styles change, obviously, but whoever thought that was a good idea. Apparently, they got a better feel for the ball. But
there
nobody...
have been seven barefoot kickers in NFL history.
Again, Tony Franklin's the one that I remember. Don't remember too many barefooted punters, do you?
No, but there was, you saw the video of one, right?
Yes. Don't remember them as much, but
I don't remember them as much either. That one even blew me away more. Here's what I don't understand about it. How painful would it be to kick a football barefoot in the cold?
I know.
Like it hurts me to even look at.
Yeah, they said they got a better feel for the ball, but you know, how long is the ball on your foot? That you really care about feel.
Right, exactly. So crazy.
But that I got that at number two. Well, here's number five. And this is for your American League baseball fans. Do you remember the bubble protector that umpires had in the American League? Didn't have it in the National League, but they had it in the American League where it was just a vest and they held it with one arm across their chest. And that's why there would be a low strike zone. That they'd miss the low strike in the American League, the high strikes, because sometimes they couldn't see down because they had this stupid bubble protector. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Maybe I'm just too old school.
Shield?
Yeah, it's just like a big puffy shield that they had in front of them. Like if you were like a knight, but instead of it being metal, it was a big puffy foam protector that they slid it into their forearm, and they put it in front of them. And then they had like a little dip at the top where they could put their chin and look at the strike.
By the way, I don't hate the idea of it. I get it. Like, right. It would make me feel more comfortable. But, yeah, you're not going to see that again.
Now, what you don't see in baseball anymore, unless now with the new rule where the base coaches have to have helmets... the skull cap. That's at number four. The skull cap is what we'd call it, but basically it's a helmet with no ear protector. So it was just a baseball cap that was plastic. And there were a lot of – Dave Winfield always had it, Reggie Jackson, Ron Say. And they eventually were grandfathered in where lefty or righty, you had to have the ear protector. But the old school guys were able to maintain it. So deep into the 80s, maybe the early 90s, you saw ball players still have the skull cap. And you were able to count them like on one hand. Rick Cerrone had the skull cap.
Wow.
Eddie Murray. So the skull cap, gone. So we got the barefooted kicker at two.
Okay.
Bubble vest at five. Skull cap at four. Number three, and I can't believe this was a thing, Peter. What were they thinking?
I hope this is what I think it is.
the goalposts on the goal line in the NFL. Now, I guess the logic, Peter, behind it was, well, you've got to cross the goal line to score a touchdown, so shouldn't the goalposts be on the goal line? Right? It's the end zone's still the field of play, but it's not part of the 100 yards. So I got it in theory, but in execution, Peter, how do you draw up a play and in a wide receiver, like, run into the post? You would actually see that. The old football follies, they would have, like, well, your pass or your wide receiver would just slam into the goalpost.
I used to see, like, old highlights, you know, like when you'd see an old NFL VHS, like the NFL's hardest hits. And they would show old school football with the goalpost in the front of the end zone. And I always thought, how was that even possible?
Now, what they did, what they used to have the two, right? Because now you just have the one bar, and then it juts out, and then you have the actual goalpost. So there's only the one stationary pipe that touches the ground. Back in the day, there'd be two, but so it would look like an H.
Right.
Then when they went to just the one, they put it in the middle of the end zone and then have the crossbar be across the line, but still dangerous. You'd have to set up your line of scrimmage so you didn't have your running back run into it after he scored a touchdown.
It's insane.
It really is insane, and it's gone, and it's right to be gone, but I can imagine some people looking at old NFL footage and going, what were they thinking? And number one, and I miss it, but it just shows you how lazy baseball can be. Number one, Peter, the bullpen cart. Yes, there was a time where your relief pitcher would come in, and because it was just too taxing for them to run in from the bullpen, they would get into a cart. Sometimes it'd be shaped like a baseball with a baseball cap of the home team on top, with the pillars being baseball bats. And sometimes what it would be, maybe you would get, and the Yankees did this, like maybe you'd get a Lincoln Continental sponsored by the Yankees and painted in pinstripes that would drive you over to home plate. So not only were you messing up the field by actually having cars drive on it, but also that your relief pitcher didn't have to walk the 100 yards to pitch in relief.
It's so good. It's such a classic old school baseball thing. I got to tell you, though, I'm surprised one thing didn't make the list.
What's that? Who are you taking out?
The hockey player with no helmet.
Well, I thought about it, and that was grandfathered in. The last player, I don't know if you remember.
The last one I remember is Rod Langway.
Yeah, Rod Langway was one. But I think the very last guy, because they instituted it in the late 80s, but if you played without a helmet, you didn't have to wear the helmet. And then after you retired, then it would be it. The last one, and I might be mistaken by this, but I don't think I am, was Craig McTavish. And he was the last one playing without a helmet. So that could have made the list. There's a couple, but those are the five that I feel the best about. Goalies not wearing masks, but that could have been on the list. There's a few things, but just quirky things that I can imagine a millennial looking back at old footage and going, I cannot believe that happened.
Mike Hill throws out a good one. This is such a relic and a really good one, Don.
Yeah.
The 15-round title fight.
Yes.
You do not see 15-round fights. You are maxing out at 12 rounds. I mean, it is really completely dead. Shining Wizards Kevin went Rick Barry and said we're not going to see the underhanded foul shot again.
No, I don't think you'll see that. Just out of the pure embarrassment of having to do it, right?
How about the woman?
The Randall, the Richie Cunningham from Happy Days. That's the way he shot his foul shots.
How about having just a busty woman show up in the middle of a game and start kissing players on the field?
Yeah.
Remember that? Remember that moment in history?
I thought about that yesterday because I told you I went to see the Elvis movie, right?
Yeah. You thought about, hold on, what was her name, Morgana or something?
Yeah, Morgana.
You thought about her yesterday?
No, but I thought about this.
Okay.
So towards the end of the movie when they're talking about the Elvis, bloated Vegas Elvis, when he was playing at the International, I think he was really the first ever artist that would have a, what do they call that when you play one place all the time in Vegas?
A residency.
A residency, yeah. He was the first one to have a residency, and he was there all the time. There was one show that they showed, like, as he was coming off the stage, just kissing women on the lips, one after another. Just coming off the stage right in front of his wife. I just imagine that, like the beach bash, people will high five. Just imagine that there would have been a time, Peter, doing the beach bash in the 70s, where it would have been socially acceptable as
for me to make out with Shining Wizards
after
Kevin.
The show, that women would come up to us and we would be able to tongue kiss them for 5 seconds and then move on to somebody else. And the guys would high five us and we would kiss the women on the lips. And people would not bat an eye or think that that was awkward at all. Now they would, first of all, we'd be beaten senseless and probably arrested.
Well, I think tomorrow you should get this, bring this back by kissing Steve Brzezinski and Shining Wizards Kevin, and then Harry and Inglewood Cliffs back to back to back. You'll be like Morgana.
I like a lot of guys. Most of these people.
But yeah, Google Morgana the Kissing Bandit if you want to see another moment in sports history we will never see again.
It was unacceptable, but like even like now with COVID, right? Like, that's what I was thinking about watching the Elvis movie. It's like, not only how inappropriate that is, but you kind of understand things were different back in the 70s. But just like how you couldn't do it now because of COVID. But, God, that was... Just even Richard Dawson on Family Feud just kissed every woman.
It's really crazy when you think about it.
And it's not, the fact Peter, that we even survived... We're not talking about 18-something. We're 40, 50 years ago.
No, 40,
I know that seems like a long time, but it's not that long.
No, 40, 50 years ago, it was still madness in this country in every way. But, by the way, real quick, and we have Stephen A. coming up at 5:30. Let's get into some Diamond Notes brought to you by Nissan. In case you're wondering, the deal with your New York Yankees tonight, they are in Houston, and they are playing the Astros at 6:10 Eastern. All right? Luis Severino on the hill. Louis on the hill tonight. Sevy, if you will. I apologize.
Okay.
You're right. And we will be leaving, yes, at 5:20. So if you want to hear Stephen A.
Ray Rowe.
And you want to hear ENN.
Ray Rowe.
Download the ESPN New York app or listen on the radio. Yankees first pitch right around 6:10 on Yes. That's today's Diamond Notes brought to you by Nissan. Nissan's an easier choice than ever with their exciting and fuel-efficient lineup. Now get great offers across their full line. Shop at your local Nissan store and NissanUSA.com. Your calls are next. Peter and Don on the K-Show on 98.7 ESPN and Yes.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Don, I don't know if you're aware, there's a lot happening in the world of sports today.
Tons.
Some would go as far as saying, in the words of the great Johnny Carson, it's a wacky day. How dated a reference is that? I mean, if we're talking about Morgana the Kissing Bandit, might as well go full Carson. 1-800-919-3776. Stephen A. joining us at 5:30, ENN at 6.
Both radio-only vehicles, by the way.
So Ray Rowe.
Pay attention to that.
ESPN New York app, I heard earlier there were issues with it, is now fully up and running, so jump on the ESPN New York app. Let's go to the phones. Buddha in the Bronx. What's up, Buddha?
What's going on, guys? How y'all been?
Good. You?
Good, man.
Yeah, hanging in there. I can't complain.
Who'd listen anyway, right?
Situation. Yeah, tell me about it. You listen, this net situation. Like all the other callers that called, you know, it was never really going to work if you really look at any type of team sport, like creation. You know, it was an epic fail, obviously. They got the same results, basically, that they had with Atkinson, Jared Allen, Dinwiddie, and LeVert, and went through so much drama to get there with these two guys. So, you know, I don't really feel sorry for the Nets as an organization at all. What I will say is just like where they are now, listen, KD has to go, but Kyrie has to go, and Nash has to go as well. All three of them are joined at the hip. You can't keep – imagine keeping Kyrie here, Kyrie and Ben Simmons next year.
Crazy.
Listen, well, you think the media was on them this year. Oh, my God. It'll be an absolute disaster.
You brought up a good point, though, about Nash, right? If they're going to part ways with Kyrie and KD, those are the guys that wanted Nash to be the coach. So I don't know why you would even keep Nash at that point.
You can't keep him. He's not a coach. He's a pom-pom guy. He's a cheerleader, you know? But listen, I just got a question for you. I don't know if you guys have been watching this NBA landscape and all that. You know, I'm a Sixers fan. And, you know, Bradley Beal opted out. So now, I mean, if Daryl Morey has got any type of brain in his head, or, you know, listen, you cannot be loyal to this guy Harden because you were with him before, you liked him, whatever. Bradley Beal, at this point in time, is a better player than him. And the money that you were going to give Harden is similar to the money that he's asking for. Like, how do we get that move? I need that, guys. How do we get him there?
I don't know. Moving Harden at this point seems like, Don, it would be incredibly complicated.
Very complicated.
He blatantly just took a step the other direction. Like, a year ago, it seemed like James Harden was just the James Harden we always knew, and it seemed like there was no reason to think it would stop. He was the most available of the Nets when he first got there. And there's been a precipitous drop-off since he went to Philadelphia, and really since his time started winding down in Brooklyn.
Obviously, I don't think they were true, but his play was so poor at times where it looked like he was tanking to get the coach fired and to bring in his own coach. Right? Wasn't that the feeling that he wanted D'Antoni so bad that he was playing poorly? I don't think it was true, but the play was so poor at times where that was the allegation getting thrown out there.
Yeah, he's had his moments over the last couple of years.
Oh, you think?
I hope Bradley Beal does find a deal somewhere awesome, though.
Well, remember when we were talking about him to the Knicks? What was that, like 2 years ago?
Well, Don, it sounds like Rashid Chappelle may have been more on point than we realized.
Okay.
Bleacher Report, quoting Woj, KD and Kyrie, quote, want to continue to play together, but not in Brooklyn.
So, it's amazing to think. Think about this for a second. And this is like true to life. This is like a life lesson. You bend over backwards for these guys. And now you're the fall guy. Now it's your fault. I mean, think about that. They cave in and give the coach that you want to the organization. You want Steve Nash? Get Steve Nash. All right, they put up the good fight about not letting Kyrie play, but then caved and let Kyrie play in the road games. And bend over backwards for the two of them, and now the Brooklyn Nets are the bad guys. We don't want to play for you. What did the Nets do, Peter? Not give Kyrie a long-term extension? I'm sorry. Did he deserve one?
By the way, you know what I do right now? I walk down the hall, fire Steve Nash, and go have a press conference where I guess they can't destroy these guys till they're gone. So they got to wait, get the deal done. They don't want to mess up their assets. But, man, I hope they talk afterwards. Because, listen, I'll tell you what. I got nothing but love for the Nets as an organization in terms of any sort of interaction, Don, I've ever had in dealing with them. From, you know, from Mandy, who handles their marketing, to Sean Marks' appearance on this show. They've always been nothing but grade A class in terms of how I see them.
Yes.
It's interesting that they've become outright villains, it seems, to Katie and Kyrie.
Well, this is almost like you're in a relationship where you cater to the woman or man, and then they still walk out and leave you and blame you. Well, what did the Brooklyn Nets do? Because I'm hearing that, too, that, well, KD's probably upset that Kyrie didn't get an extension. Come on, really? You're really going to kill the Nets for not giving Kyrie an extension? Or acquiesce to his demands for a trade? You know what? I'm done with both of them. Disgust me.
I don't want to be good luck wherever you go.
Good luck. I hope you lose every game you play.
they are going to be, if they go somewhere else, you talk about a hated bunch.
That's
going to
be the most hated team in the history of sports.
Oh, my God.
Seriously.
Let's go to Travis in Amityville. What's up, Travis?
Hey, how are you?
Good. You?
Good, good. I was thinking that if I was the GM, I think that they should just sit on it. Like, they should just sit on that trade request and let Kyrie and KD settle their differences. Because, like you just said, they did everything for him. Like, you know?
Well, apparently there are no differences between the two of them. The difference is with the organization.
Right. So it's not even about them working out their differences. Now, that doesn't change your point there.
Thank you for the call,
by the way. The point remains. I don't hate the idea of being like, oh, you guys both want to – KD, you want to go, huh? Well, you guys want to play together. You can play together this year. You guys can both lose a year of your career. Yeah. They could go that route, but it just probably wouldn't benefit them. It would end up being cutting off their nose to spite their face.
It would. But that's such a Michael Kane show – K move, right? That's what Michael would advocate that they do. All right, well, then you don't play. And they could really – I mean, if they wouldn't do it, the fans would revolt. But if they could – you don't want to play? All right, you got 4 years left on your contract, KD? All right, goodbye.
1-800-919-3776. More of your calls next. Stephen A. at 5:30. Peter and Don on the K Show on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. Is the Michael K Show.
I do think this could end up being the demise of the super team. I mean, you take a look at what's won recently. Golden State was not a super team, done predominantly by draft picks, good acquisitions, winning one post Durant, which was a super team acquiring him. The year before that, it was Milwaukee. Certainly not a super team by any stretch. You look at what the Celtics have been able to build by going to the final. Phoenix to a certain extent as well. There is another way. It's harder. A lot of things have to hit. It takes brains and luck to be able to make it happen. So the super team is easier. But we're starting to see the super team, A, is a quick fix that doesn't seem sustainable. And B, boy, is it risky. Because if it blows up, what are you left with? A smolding cinder. What was a foundation of a team?
The Michael K Show.
It's the whims of a player.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Here we go. If you want to hear Stephen A. Smith, and you want to hear ENN, you're going to have to turn over to Ray Rowe or the ESPN New York app. You can hear Baron Rock. You're very excited about it. Don, we have a lot to get to, but let's start with a very upset Net fan. Before I have some Knicks good news, here's Rick in Neptune. What you got, Rick?
Hey, Peter and Don. How you guys doing?
What's up, Rick?
Just want to let you guys know, I will be there tomorrow, being I live less than 10 minutes away from Bar A, so I will 100% see you guys tomorrow for the show.
Moral imperative.
I've been a lifelong Nets fan, and just seeing this news today is just, you know, it just makes me hate the NBA. Like, you know, I want to be a fan of this league, but with all the changing of teams with these players, like, it's ridiculous. Like, you don't see it in any other league except the NBA. They even have on, like, if you go to NBA shop and you buy somebody's jersey and someone leaves, you could return your jersey and get a new jersey because they have to do things like that because no one would buy jerseys for NBA players because they're always just switching teams.
Fair point. But just with the animosity too, Rick. Like, I was thinking, does it happen in the NFL? Like, we saw it with Matthew Stafford, right? But it was, they came together, they had a meeting, they parted ways, and he's doing commercials about how much he loved Detroit, and then he won a Super Bowl in L.A. Like, I don't think anybody in Detroit was upset with the Lions, and I think they were happy for Matthew. Same thing with 100%. Ray Bourque leaving Boston. They actually rooted for him in Colorado to win the Cup. I mean, sometimes there's divorces that happen. Both sides, it's amicable, you move on. Here, it's just like, I want out, my contract be damned. You know, I don't care if you're happy with it or not. I'm gone. Get me out of here. And not only get me out of here, Peter, send me where I want to go. So you give the other team, like, no chance. Like, the Nets have one of the best players in the NBA, theoretically could trade him to any of the other 29 teams. But he's got his list. He'd go to Dallas, wants to go to Phoenix. What, you know, so that kills the Nets' leverage for moving him. Because a team that they know that Durant doesn't want to go to isn't going to trade for him, Peter, because then they're going to be inheriting a problem and he's going to want out of there. What did the Nets do to deserve this, Peter? What did they do? What did they do so wrong? I'd love to hear from KD. What did they – how did they wrong you?
The only thing the Nets did wrong was they wronged themselves. They bent over backwards entirely too much, and in the process, Don played themselves. That's it. They didn't do anything wrong to KD or Kyrie.
Right. But apparently, like, he wants out. How they treated Kyrie. Exactly how did they treat Kyrie? If his problem is they didn't give Kyrie a long-term contract, I'm sorry, man. Come back to us. You don't think that there's problems with giving Kyrie Irving a long-term contract? Didn't you play with him the last couple of years? You think he's a safe bet, KD?
Let's how about some good news?
Sure.
Jalen Brunson intends to sign a 4-year, $110 million deal with the New York Knicks.
Bing bong!
Free agency. Sham Sharania reporting. The Mavericks never received a chance to make an offer, sources said. With Brunson's situation and getting a huge payday, he's looking to become the sixth second-round draft pick in NBA history to sign for a $100-plus million contract.
Sixth?
Yeah. You'll get no one in guessing it. Andrew would have a chance, but he sent it to us, so.
I don't think he may. I think this because I always use it as a good second-round pick. It's really the only second-round pick that I can think of that did anything in the NBA, in my feeble mind. Nick Van Exel. And he didn't get that contract.
No.
From now, the Lakers.
I'll say this, Don. You've heard of every one of these guys.
Oh, yeah. You know all
just,
of them.
But I'm just telling you, I don't know their second-round picks.
One you'd remember because it was very recent. If we sat here thinking about it, you'd go, oh, yeah. And that would be Chris Middleton in Milwaukee.
Yes.
I
didn't know he was a second-round pick. I wouldn't know that.
Gilbert Arenas.
I've definitely heard of him in Washington.
That's right. Rashad Lewis, the Joker, and Mark Gasol. Wow, okay. Mark Gasol got a $100 million deal. Feels like a lot.
Holy crap.
Feels like a lot of money for Mark Gasol.
It's crazy. He only has two rounds.
The only Gasol I recognize is Powell. Let's go to
really?
Alvin right, on the Cross Bronx Expressway. What's up, Alvin?
What's going on, guys?
What up?
Hey, listen, guys. Serious thought here, though, but when is Adam Silver in the NBA? I mean, okay, we get it already. The players literally run the league. Like, they literally run it. They do whatever. They're doing whatever they want, whatever. I mean, they're destroying franchises left and right. I mean, imagine these 13-year-old kids, they're Net fans, crazy because they got Kyrie and KD, and then they're pulling this one off. I mean, this got to stop. This is literally destroying the NBA. That's just my opinion.
You know what? It's so interesting you say that because is it? Like, to me it is because this is not the way sports is supposed to be growing up. But I'm just wondering, is there a generation of fans that all they know is this, and all they care about is their favorite players? Because you can't say the NBA's hurting, right? In some markets, it's the second most popular sport in the country, right? So it's really not hurting because I think there's a generation of people that have accepted this. Yeah, some fans are disappointed, but they're still like they love to watch Kyrie, KD, whatever uniform he's on. Walk around the Willowbrook Mall, whatever team LeBron James is on, that was the jersey that was getting sold. There's Cavalier jerseys, Heat jerseys, now there's Laker jerseys. So I'm with you, Alvin. I'm just wondering, are we in the minority or the majority when it comes to this?
No, I think we're going to reach a point where the stock is going to start going down. People are just going to get bored of these super teams. They're not going to see the chemistry between teammates. There's going to be a lot of issues coming down the line. I believe we're going to reach a point where the stock is going to get boring. It's gonna be too overwhelming. All these super teams is not really is fun right now. But come on, when you're gonna see Kyrie, you're gonna see KD and LeBron James soon. It's not gonna be fun to watch that.
The reason I'm debating it because I'm with you, and I think Peter, you're with him too. But I was looking at Twitter. Somebody tweeted out. I'm going to find it because I want to give him credit. Just talking about like how entertaining this league is. Tyrese Maxey, the NBA has to be the most entertaining league, correct? Like there are people that love this. It's June 30th. We're in the middle of baseball season, and a show is being dominated by NBA talk.
Oh, I, Don, that's, Andrew, isn't that how you feel? Andrew wrote me, said, hit me up today and said, this is awesome. This is just a ball.
It's fascinating. I mean, the landscape of the league seems to change on an annual basis. That's incredible. Like, the league must love the conversation around the drama with this stuff.
And what happens is, when this drama takes place, and again, I hate it, but when this drama takes place, the only victim is the team that loses the player. The rest of the league's loving it. All right, so a Net fan right now is sick to their stomach, but the fan of the other 29 teams, they're loving it because maybe they hated the Nets, or, hey, maybe we'll be able to get these players. So, Alvin, I disagree. I don't think it hurts the league. I don't like it, and I think there's a minority of people that are disgusted by me, but, Peter, I think the majority, including the younger generation that really drives the interest in the league, are loving days like this, loving it.
It's, listen, it's, you can say many things. You can be disgusted by it. You cannot say you're not engaged. So that is a really strong upside to this stuff.
Right.
It's, does it hurt? Does it hurt teams? Yes. Does it hurt the league interest overall, Don? I'd say no. What you're going to end up having is a generation of kids who are currently between 8 and 14 who, when they're adults, won't even know who their favorite team is because they spent their whole life rooting for players. That is going to happen.
And it's nothing new, right? Because I was just thinking about Shaq. Maybe one of the most popular former players and maybe more recognizable than more than half the current league. He played for a million teams.
Yeah.
Is he a Magic? Is he a Laker? He was a Celtic. He was a Cavalier. Like, he bounced around towards the end of his career. He played for everybody. He's Shaq. Shaq was bigger than maybe the exception of the Lakers when he was playing with Kobe. You know, bigger than any team he ever played on. I mean, that's what all these players are thinking about, is that the team doesn't matter. The league doesn't matter. I matter. I'm the franchise. I'm the reason you come out and play. And to a certain extent, it is. Basketball, to me, is the most individual of the team sports.
Yep. Oh, wow.
I never had canines agree all in unison like that. It was as if I said it high pitched. It was like a dog whistle, my comment. But that's the point to them, is that, hey, we're driving the league. We're driving the interest. People care about us. So it doesn't matter who I play for.
Right.
Because they want to see me play. And that's probably the way a lot of people, they turn on ABC on a Saturday night to watch the nationally televised game. They don't care who's playing as far as the teams. They care about the players they want to watch. That's how they market the sport. It's like watching tennis or golf.
Interesting, too, when you think about where the league was, Lakers, Celtics, Bulls, et cetera, Don. It during the league's emergence as becoming primetime part of sports, it really was such a team game.
Yeah. The Bulls were a traveling circus. You love that team. The Lakers, there were teams. But now the traveling circus is literally a traveling circus of where just these players bouncing from team to team.
Yeah,
we live in an age where, you can play for Memphis. You didn't disappear. I can go buy the package, watch it. Half these games are on national television anyway. I can follow them on the computer. So it doesn't matter if they're not in my market.
The only team that you feel like's truly built, probably increased their fan base over the last 10 years, is Golden State.
Yeah.
I can see every other team. I mean, listen, there's some teams that are standing pat. Like, Boston's fine. Miami's fine. There are teams, obviously. But there are some where it just depends on the year.
Well, listen, you went from the Cleveland Cavaliers being maybe one of the biggest teams in sports as far as people following them when LeBron was on it to a team you don't even care about anymore.
Oh, and they were good last year, and still no one cared. Let's
now, Miami's different because Miami's been able to stay relevant post-LeBron. And Golden State before Curry got there? Honestly, Golden State. What were they before Curry got there? You knew they existed, but nobody cared about them.
No. they've been in no man's land for a very long time.
Now all of a sudden they're the flagship team of the sport.
Let's go to Matthew in Brooklyn. What's up, Matthew?
Hey, guys. How you going? Thanks for taking my call this afternoon. I've got to be honest with you. I'm, like, really demoralized with what's happened. It feels like the same Nets when I was following them in 2016. People ask me, what do you want for Christmas? And I'll say Brooklyn to get 20 wins. Now we're in a situation where we've got Patty opting out. We've got Blake Griffin possibly going to L.A., Ben Simmons, the drama there, that goes back for me. It goes back to when he played, when he opted not to go to the Olympics to play for the Boomers. Instead, he went to Wimbledon. Then you've got Kyrie, when he stepped away in the 2021 season, then the vaccination situation, then him having a Christmas list of every team that he wanted to go to. And now we have our general that wants to leave, who everybody seems to be gravitated to. My question really is like, what has Brooklyn done for people to decide, hey, you know what, let's pack our bags to JFK?
First of all, I can't believe Sean Marks called the show under the fifth inning.
This guy's this Matthew from Brooklyn.
So thank
I
you,
thought
Matthew.
The same thing.
I don't – when you look up at what the Nets are at the end of all this, Don, and this is what's so unfortunate – you know, for people like us who live in the city, work in sports media, want there to be excitement around this team, want there to be a secondary team that people can love here. Don, I don't think they've done anything to add, to Matthew's point, to the idea of people wanting to come here and wanting to be a part of it. And really, Don, again, I'll just say it.
No.
The blame lays on them only in the fact that they put so much trust in these players.
But yeah.
They really did. They did everything. They're like the partner that gives everything to a spouse that just walks all over them.
I know.
And at the end, yes, you can be upset because the spouse was a jerk for walking all over you. But if you never stand up for yourself, you're going to get walked all over. And essentially, that's what Joe Tsai, Sean Marks, I mean, Steve Nash. I don't even know what to consider Steve Nash. The whole thing was a joke. No one cared. People literally didn't show up to work for a job they're getting paid millions for.
I just feel terrible. But a lot of teams would have done the same thing. Now, maybe the Knicks wouldn't, because your story is that Dolan didn't want Kyrie. So maybe the Knicks can feel like, well, we didn't buy into that super team garbage. But how many teams would have turned down the opportunity the Nets had?
Well, Don, we have Stephen A. next.
Yes.
And ESPN is reporting on their Twitter that, according to Stephen A., quote, Kyrie Irving is telling everybody he plans on going to L.A., meaning the Lakers, as soon as he possibly can go. Mm. We'll ask Stephen A. about that in about
how that
minutes.
Could happen.
Yeah, it seems crazy. Let's go to Brendan on Route 22. What's up, Brendan?
What's up, guys? Oh, my goodness. I got to say, I'm talking to radio legends for me, so this is a big deal. But
right, Route 22, what are you passing right now? Give me the store you're passing right now.
I'm passing Blue Star, like for the Wendy's and Marshall's and Kohl's and Michael's.
That's right. I go to the Arby's there, and we'll go to Chick-fil-A, which my kids adorably call Chick-fil-A. But go ahead, Brendan. I'm sorry.
No problem. I'm testing the Wendy's, the five-star operation. But anyway, that being said, I got to say Kyrie and Kevin Durant might be the biggest losers in the history of New York sports. How do you have a team do everything for you and then just abandon them the second someone makes a mistake? And, Peter, I know you're a big Celtics fan. You have to think the hatred for these two have to trounce the hatred for Kyrie and Boston after just leaving this team in shambles, I would say, worse than when the Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce era ended terribly there, too. But thanks for taking my call, guys.
Man, and that's another thing to think about. And as we get ready to say goodbye to Yes, and if you want to hear the rest of the show while you're watching the batting practice show and watching the start of the Yankee game on Yes, you can listen to us on 98.7 or on the ESPN New York app.
Ray Rowe.
Crazy, Don, to think about it, that the two big swings that this organization has taken at stars just have turned out to be abject failures. I mean, now hopefully the difference is this one will help them build for a future rather than destroy their future, like the Pierce one.
Right. There's an exit strategy for this, that there could be a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, but
right.
That rainbow's long because it's going to take a while to get there.
All right, we will say goodbye to Yes. We will see you on TV tomorrow at 3 p.m. at the Beach Bash. Join up on radio with us, 98.7 ESPN, or, of course, the ESPN New York app. More Peter and Don. Stephen A. next on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.